Once again, we want to welcome you and glad you're able to join with us. We are going to be celebrating confirmation next week. And if you look in your bulletin, you see a list of kids that are going to be making that statement of faith. That's a milestone in our faith life in the church. This morning we did 2 infant baptisms, and as we did that, they brought their kids before them. They didn't have much say in it. One of them tried to fight me to not have to be baptized, but at the end I won. He got wet and he's baptized. He had no say in it. But that's the parents' will and the church saying, we want you to grow up knowing God. The next step of that, what the prayers of those families are, is at some point, then they are going to take that faith on for themselves. And if you look at those kids there, you have some names, and those are kids that are ready to take that next step. They will, before the church next week, profess their faith in Christ. We have some baptism that will happen. We have some families that will be joining. It'll be a real neat Sunday. And so, number one, we ask you to pray for those kids, and we've provided their name for you because one of the traditions we have here is if you would like to give them a card or a little symbol to mark this important day for them, we'll have a place for you to drop those off, and you can do that at the beginning of the service next week. And so we hope you'll be able to join us for that. And then if you'll read through the other announcements, you'll get some other information you need there. But we are continuing our Keeping It Real series, and these last few times that I'm preaching here, I wanted to go back and sort of hit the highlights of what we're trying to do, who we are trying to be, and who we have tried to be as a church. And based on that mission, vision statement that's on the back of your bulletin, real people in a real relationship with Jesus Christ who make a real difference in the world. So we've been calling it Keeping It Real, and just sort of hitting some of the fundamentals this morning. And today what we're going to talk about is what is the most important thing for us to do? If we were going to say, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what is the highest priority for myself, for the church, for the ministry? Who is it that we are supposed to be? And what it gets down to is God created us out of love. We've been talking about this over the last few weeks. God created us out of love and said, if you love me, then demonstrate your love for me by loving others, right? And that shows me that you love me. And if we have discovered a relationship with a loving God, then our job is to share that discovery with others as well, to share our faith, to share our belief, to share our hope with those who are searching. And so this morning, it's Mother's Day, I know, and as I said earlier, we are appreciative of moms. And I want to sort of circle around. It goes with Mother's Day. Moms, you have a very important job in life, right? You are tasked with raising little fish into human beings, right? You are tasked with supporting them and loving them and nurturing them, kissing boo-boos and all that other kind of stuff. And life doesn't always go easy, does it? The two families that had the baptism this morning, and there'll be many moms that'll be able to, you know, this is something we've been planning because one of the families lives in College Station, so they've been planning it for 6 weeks, and they had great-grandma here and grandmas and everybody was able to come, and they were all shuffling, and as they got out of the car in the parking lot, one of the little ones got her finger slammed in the car door, and so screams and broken finger and everything. I tried to throw holy water on it. It didn't work, but right? And how many times in your life have you tried to plan the perfect deal and put the perfect thing together? And you get everyone dressed up and you get everyone spit shined and everything. You get their socks matched, their shoes matched, their shirts tucked in, and then something else goes wrong. And isn't that just sort of the way life is? And that's just not for moms, that's for parents in general. And how many times as parents do we fret over over our kids and worry over our kids. And where are they going? What are they going to do? How is a kid with a personality like that going to be successful in anything? How is somebody who can't tie their shoes ever going to get a job, right? There's so many fears in everything we have. And what I want to circle around this morning is tying on to that idea of Mother's Day, that idea of nurturing, that idea of raising our kids, of passing a legacy onto our kids. What is the most important thing that we can pass along? And I'm sure you can guess my thesis, right? I'm a pastor. I'm standing in front of you, right? It's the answer to every children's sermon: Jesus, right? That's that. But let's go a step beyond just saying that. How can we do that? And so this morning I'm going to use as a text 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 8. And we'll have it on the screen here. Let me read the introduction, couple verses here. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Just wanted to read that as an introduction. This is the second of two letters we have to Timothy. Timothy was a young man who, as this Christ movement, as this new Christianity began to flourish, Timothy was a young protege of Paul. Paul, the greatest missionary that took Christianity from being just a Jewish thing to being into the Gentile world. Your presence in church this morning is due much to Paul's work. He made one of the biggest impacts of anyone in the scriptures. In fact, I was just at a conference where one of the speakers was making the case that it was due to the power of Jesus. But if you are talking about numbers here on earth, Paul is the most influential character in the scriptures for us, and the difference he made with that. And he had developed this relationship with Timothy. Timothy had sort of come under his wing. And at some point in that relationship, Paul had left him to run a church, to run a faith group, and to be in charge of that. And he had checked back and forth with him. And you get here out of this that there is this fondness between them. Timothy caught Paul's heart. Timothy was willing to sacrifice and had a desire to serve God in a way that warmed Paul's heart. And they had to be separated. Paul continued on his journeys. He had to leave Timothy behind. And it says, I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we get back. You get this sense that even though they were apart, that there was this very close relationship. And so this is the setting of this letter. And this young man that Paul saw something so special in. And so let's continue. Verse 5. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that this same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am imprisoned for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. And this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. There are not too many times in the scriptures that we get females as a picture of faithfulness. And there are many skeptics, many sort of skeptical biblical scholars, and over the last 50, 70 years critical scholarship against Christianity and stuff, one of the arguments about Christianity is that it's a sexist religion, and that this book is sexist. And we certainly need to read this with an understanding of context and stuff, but it is clear if you understand context and you understand message and you look back at his history and what actually happened, Christianity actually had lots of women that made a big difference in the movement. Because of that patriarchal society, we don't always get the picture of that in words. That sort of got edited out. You look at the beginning of Matthew, that where they run through the genealogy of Jesus leading up. That's where Matthew starts before he starts to talk about this Jesus who is Messiah. And the genealogy is traced through the male heir in each family. That's how you would call out families, was by male heirs. That was just the way things did. So it's amazing to me that as Paul is talking to Timothy, who does he give credit to for the faith that he has? It's in verse 5. Can you put that up, Megan? I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Right? He's not, and we don't know the full story about Timothy's family. We don't know if Timothy's dad had passed away. We don't, and so mom had taken over. We don't know if he just wasn't a part of it. But for whatever reason, in a completely contrary way, the fact that he calls out grandmother and mother lend to their extraordinary faith, right? And what does he call them out for? He says, the faith that your grandmother and your mother had was so exemplary that it came on you. The faith that I see in you, and faith is that trusting in God no matter what. Faith is that no, whatever the world sees, whatever my circumstances look like, that doesn't matter. I am going to put my faith and trust in God. I'm going to put my weight on my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to rely on him. That's faith. And he says, you learned that from your grandmother and your mother. I just want to talk about that for a minute, because in our culture, we have so many ideas of what's important for us to push to share. What are the priorities of our life? What is it that we should be doing as parents? And we have, you know, there's all sorts of things on Facebook and stuff. I feel sorry for young moms and stuff because, you know, if you don't feed them vegan food that you grew in your own garden and mix it with the milk from the goats that you raised in your yard that you fed non-pesticide grain to at the same time, you know, that you used the correct sunscreen as you went out to put that, right? With all of that sort of societal pressure what preschool are you putting? Oh, you're going to put your kid in that preschool? Whew, good luck with that one, all right? And at an age where they're lucky to be able to walk and not fall down on their shoelaces or just be aware that their pants are falling, that, and we're worried about what school to put them in, right? It in our culture, that with all of those things that we have to worry about, this is a reminder of what's really important. And this isn't to embarrass you or anything, but just to make, how many of you are grandparents? Raise your hand if you're a grandparent. Good. Great. And for some of you, your grandkids are close and you get to be a part of their lives. And I hope that you hear this, grandparent, that you have a role in these kids' life. It's not just about handing down to your kids, but when you do what God is asking us to do, to share our faith, to push on your faith, you are going to make a difference, not just in the next generation, but in generations to follow. You're going to make an impact. And for some of you, you know, that's easy. You're right here. Their kids are right here. You can go over. They can drop them off at your house and all that kind of stuff. But for many of you, your grandkids are far away and you think, what can I do to make a difference? Well, here's a great idea. How many times a day do you pray for your grandkids? And even if they live right here, I want you to think about this as well. How many times a day do you pray for your grandkids? Do you understand that? I mean, every generation has the challenges they have to get over, but just the easy access that our kids have to things that pollute our minds and lead in dangerous paths. Do you pray for those kids? Do you pray for the parents of your kids? Do you know prayer is the most powerful thing we can do? Sometimes we think we have to, you know, pay a lot of money to take them on a trip or pay a lot of money to get them on a certain team or give them a certain experience or whatever. But the most important thing that you can do for your kids, the number one way to pass on your faith is to pray for them. It's not going to be known between anybody but you and God, but the power of prayer is amazing. In James chapter 5, it says, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. I grew up where one grandparent was close, the other one wasn't, and then all of my grandparents passed away at an early age. And so, but I know that both of my grandmothers were women of faith, and I know that they had prayed for me over and over and over again. And I don't want to just limit it to grandparents. If you don't have kids, you still can make an impact in the upcoming generations. One of the women that made the biggest impact in my young Christian life was an older lady who wasn't able to have children. Her name was Ruby, and she was the one who first told me that she saw God in me, that she thought I was called to ministry. This was at the age of 8, as I was getting called out by the pastor for shooting spitwads at the candles while he was on stage. True story. Because they used to have those candelabras that wrapped around, and I sat right here because our youth would sit in the front, and I was trying to hit the flame and I got called out by the pastor. And then what I remember next was I woke up on the, no, but Ruby was one of those, she wasn't my grandmother, but she stayed at a Holiday Inn, right? So she played the role as grandmother in my life. And there was several people in my life that prayed me into the kingdom. They prayed me into the kingdom. Out of darkness, out of stupidity, out of ignorance, out of rebellion, out of human. There was some folks in my life that prayed for me every single day and continue. And there's so many times I hear people say, I don't know how to be a missionary. I don't have the talent to do this in church. I'm not on a committee. I don't have that to, you know what? You have the talent to go to the Lord in prayer. And this is male and female. This isn't just for moms. Dad, you're not off the hook just because it's Mother's Day, right? This is the way we can make a difference in the upcoming generations. All of those decisions that we fret about, what high school they're going to, what sports they're going to be in, what college they're going to be, who they're going to marry, where they're going to live, what kind of job they're going to have. We can worry about all of those, and those are all important decisions, right? Those are all important for their families. But here's the deal. If we get them the foundation for their life, that they base their life on their belief and their trust and their leaning in on God, because of their understanding of God, if we give them that, then all the other stuff will fall in place. The way Jesus said it was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Pray for your grandkids. Pray for those. That children's ministry you saw here that sort of sang and danced a little bit, right? All of a sudden they get shy. When that's not the way it looks over there when you get over there. They talk and they won't shut up. But we have parents that volunteer over there, but we also have some folks that do not have children in that program who give their time to go over to sing with them, to read with them, to pray with them, to teach them Bible lessons, because they believe that's how you impact upcoming generations. Because that's how you pass along a legacy that matters. That's the number one thing we can do, is pray. Mom, Lois, or Eunice. Mom is Eunice, right? Mom. That's a little harder job, right? Because it's hard to pray for somebody that you want to strangle, Right? And there's times as moms where you just want to strangle this. There's times where the anger sets in and everything. But you know what? That's when you can pass along your faith the most powerfully. When your kids see that even when you're struggling in life, that you have something of value that you fall back on, that makes an impact. My dad never sat down and had a discussion with me and said, "Son, I'm a Christian and I want you to be a Christian." We never had that conversation, with my mother. But I knew that was their desire because of the way we lived and the choices they made for our lives and the priorities that they had for our life. I knew that they believed that church was important because if the doors were open, we were there. I knew they believed that God was important because I knew, I saw them at different times, even though it wasn't me included in it. I saw them meeting with friends and talking about their faith and praying. I saw them when they had some marital problems get together, and one of the things their counselor told them was to pray together at the dinner table. I saw them do that. They didn't have to tell me that Christ was important to them. They showed me. How often? I mean, number one, don't go here with a guilt complex because how many are perfect parents? Yeah, none, zero, right? You're just hoping that there's a good enough counselor to overcome your parenting at a future age, right? None of us are going to do it right, but if we can get at least this right, it makes such a difference. Give them that solid foundation, and the world changes. The sports that are important will change. The schools that are important will change. Their interests will change. Who they want to date and who they want to marry will change. Where they want to live will change. All that will change. But the one thing that won't change is God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That will not change. That is the value. That is the most important thing that you could give your kids. And I want you to think about this. So this grandmother living in first century Jerusalem, who by all political means and power means was marginalized and not important. That's why it's striking that Paul calls these two women out. In a culture that demeaned women and saw them as property and chattel and saw them as not important. And if you were a widow, and many scholars believe that Timothy's mom was a widow, that even further disenfranchises you because all of your property holdings and all your wealth was tied to who you were married to. You forfeited that if you were a widow. So in a culture that said in every way to Timothy's mother and grandmother, "You are not important," they did the most powerful, important thing that they could do. And they did that to a young man who then went on to lead a church that brought people to Christ, that created other people who trusted in Christ, who believed in Christ. Because of those two women's belief in God and their willingness to live out their faith, who knows how many people were impacted by that? What else in our lives do we get to say that about? What else in our lives do we get to say, "I made a difference that matters"? Not just for 5 minutes, not just for a couple years, not just for a couple days, not just for a applause of some folks, but an eternal difference. How many opportunities do we get to do that? Will you put up that verse 5 again, Meg? That last half of that verse, it says, "And I know that that same faith continues strong in you." Verse 6, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." How many of you have been baptized? Okay. If you have been baptized, you've had hands laid on you, right? That's the baptism of believers. That puts us in the mission field. That puts us in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You are baptized, so you are a minister. You are a pastor for God. You are a minister of the gospel. It's not just the ones who stand on the stage who are called to that. All of us are called to that. And it says, "When I want you to fan into flames," and this just sounds so Wesleyan to me because John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement, while his contemporaries would talk about the fire of God and everything, when Wesley talked about his faith story, he said, "And I felt my heart strangely warmed." Right? It was such a proper Methodist thing. And my heart was just strangely warmed. Whew, little heartburn. Ate a bad taco. Right? But, you know, nothing big. Like he wasn't slain in the spirit or anything. He just had a little But he says, take that little flame. And I envision this morning, as we baptize those two little boys, I envision that, all they wanted was for me to stop touching them and not put water on their head anymore. And what are you doing? And they're crying and squirming and everything else. But somehow, by the Holy Spirit, there was a little fire put in their hearts. And what we're praying for is that gets fanned into flame. And how does that get fanned in? Well, you blow on it, right? Have you been out camping? If your fire goes, are you watched Naked and Afraid? Or just show you my bad choices in TV, right? Flying home the other night, that was all that I was watching on my Southwest flight, was Naked and Afraid. But, you know, you got to get a fire siren, you get the little ember, and how do you get it to burst in? You blow on it, right? And if you want your kids' faith, if you want to fan that into flames, you got to work at it, man. Challenge them. Get them in opportunities to serve. Send them on mission trips. Send them to camp. Have them go down to Loaves and Fishes. Help them go help out a neighbor next door. Help them give of themselves. Teach them how to look somebody in the eye and shake their hand and say, hello, how are you? You have to do the work. Blow on that relationship. And someday, by the prayers that have been prayed, by the spark that's been lit, by the fanning that you have done as parents, and by the very power of God, someday that can blossom into a flame that changes somebody from being lost to found. Fan that into, use all the spiritual gifts that God gave you. You have every opportunity to be exactly the person God has asked you to be, because God has poured himself out for you. Don't just sit back and wait for the wind to blow. Go sit in front of a fan and let the spark take place. Last thing. Next verse, Meg. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. Okay? As parents, isn't your greatest desire that your child will grow up with confidence and competence? That they're going to go out and take on the world and make a difference in the world? Isn't that the thing that you hope for? That they are going to find purpose and joy somewhere in their life? And he says, we don't want our kids to be afraid and have a timidity. And in our culture and with the news that goes on and all the happenings, we have to reassure them that there is a God who is in charge of all circumstances, that he has already won the battle, and no matter what happens, he is in control. And so you need to give them that assurance. And then we need to teach them, not what the world teaches, but what the Bible teaches about power. And power isn't what we can do under our own strength. If it's just up to me, if it's just up to us on our own, we are powerless. But by the Holy Spirit and by the power of God in us, we have the power to do anything God wills for us. There is nothing God has called you to do that you're unable to do with his help. You have power, you have love. That's the basis of it. We've been talking about that. Our love for God, our love for each other. Love has the power to change the world. That is the one thing that can turn this world up on its ear, is the power of love. It is transforming in your family. It's transforming in your workplace. It's transforming in our community. It's transforming wherever you go. Teach your children how to love. And then the last one, that's the hardest one, isn't it? Because we struggle with it too. Self-discipline. If we were good at it, we'd all be better people, right? But we struggle with this one. But that's what we need to teach too, which means you have to say no sometimes. Which means that sometimes they're going to get mad at you. Which means sometimes they're going to think you're a jerk. Which means sometimes they're not going to like you very much. But you know what? If you've done a good job of teaching them about God and love and power, someday when those teenage hormones filter themselves out, they'll come back to loving you as a person, right? This is what a legacy is. I bet you you can think of some people in your life who have demonstrated this for you. That and part of your reason for being here this morning is because someone did this for you. There is someone who was willing to pray for you. There was someone who was willing to see the best in you. There was someone who hoped for you instead of condemned you. And all Paul's saying is, man, count your blessings, Timothy, for your mom and your grandma. And I just want to give you the opportunity and opportunity for me as well to just say thanks to God for those who are willing to do that for us. And I think the way we can say thanks with the most power is for us to be willing to do that for someone else. Why don't you bow with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, the reality is all of us who are parents struggle. And God, we probably have more bad days than we have good days. And there have been things we've said, there's been things we've done that we're just not proud of. But God, just as your word says, we are your word and our relationship with you is not about fear and timidity. It's about love and power. And God, we believe by your Holy Spirit, we can be transformed from our flawed selves to being remade in your image, where your mind can become our mind, where your words can become our words, where your actions can become our actions. And God, most of all, we want to pass along what's important to our children. Remind us of your greatness. Remind us of your immensity. Remind us of our priorities, God. And then give us the courage to make the sacrifices and the changes that we need to in order to honor you. And for all of those who have in our lives been willing to pray and sacrifice and lead and teach, God, for all those who have given of themselves, we say thank you. And there's many who get paid to do that job, but God, for our moms and grandmas and family, for those important women who often aren't thanked and often aren't appreciated, we say thank you. And may God bless them all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.